A Year in Japan, Episode 11.
Disclaimer. This episode of A Year in Japan is not being edited in the usual A Year in Japan studios, so the editing quality is gonna be kinda dodgy. Okay, on with the show.
Why, hello there, it's Joseph O'Reilly here, introducing the last episode in the first series of A Year in Japan. A broadcast from Joseph Tame in Tokyo. Oh yes, this is the final episode from this dramatic first year of wish, wonder and surprise. And it's all coming to an end here. But I think this series might just be picking up in the future. You never know, in another guise. Anyway, I've got lots to talk about today. Because Joseph's been a very busy boy this last month. 2 months, in fact. It's about 2 months since the last episode. He's been terribly busy. This got some fantastic news for you. I'm sure you've heard it all before, but I'll tell you again anyway. Anyway, without further ado, let me hand over to Joseph Tame and let him pick up the story, the final story of A Year in Japan. Thank you very much. Why, yes, hello, it is episode 11, the final episode in this first series of A Year in Japan podcast by yours truly, Joseph Tame, the Tame in Tokyo. And I've got a whole list of things to talk about, quite a lot of which I've written about on the Daily Mumble over the past couple of months, for those of you who've been following that, but some stuff which you may not have heard as well, which I hope you haven't heard. And of course it's all completely different because it's me talking. Oh yeah, it's not you just reading it in your head. Anyway, the sound might be a bit different this time because I've already sent my headphones back to the UK, my proper headphones, and I've sent my mic stand back to the UK, so I've just got the mic sitting in my pen box. It's the bottom half of a water bottle that I cut the top off to keep pens in, but it's got my mic in now. And I'm here in the Kamiitabashi Leo Palace. Viva Kamiitabashi is the name of our studios. Viva Kamiitabashi. And down on the floor to my right is the lovely Twinkle, who's just watching a DVD with her headphones in. Let's just see if we can get her to say hello. Twinkle, would you like to say hello to the audience?
Hello.
Thank you, Twinkle. Okay, you can get back to what you're doing now. So, Twinkle is here, poking me with her foot. And the first bit of news I'd like to talk to you about is what I got up to yesterday and the day before. And I haven't even had time to write about this on the Mumble yet. And I don't have many photos because photography was strictly not allowed. Anyway, it was really exciting because last week I got a message from this agency, this talent agency, this acting agency, which specialises in foreign actors, foreign extras, foreign actors for Japanese productions. Anyway, I got a call saying, "Oh, Joseph, there's a TV drama being filmed on Friday and Saturday. Are you interested?" So, yeah, I'm free those days. So, anyway, so she says, "Okay, well, I'll send your photo to the director and get back to you later in the week." So I kind of forgot about it, and then I went to my friend Stu's house and got rather drunk at that party there, and suddenly had the clever idea of cutting my hair, and Stu then promptly produced his shaver, and I shaved all my hair off. And I was going to leave it at like 5 millimetres, and you know, it's kind of looking alright, and then suddenly I pushed too hard, and dunk, that was the sound of all of my hair coming off this strip of scalp, where the razor slipped, and suddenly all the hair was gone. and it was like I looked incredibly stupid, and I had no choice but to take it all off. So now I'm completely bald. And some of you may have seen the cartoon that I made on the Daily Mumble. I forget about this. Next day I wake up, everything's fine. Then later in the day I suddenly get a call from the talent agency, and I completely forgotten about them. And she says, "Oh, Joseph, I've got some good news for you. You've been chosen to take part in the film, in the drama." I was like, "Oh, wow, that's fantastic. Oh, thanks. Oh no. Oh, shit. Oh, you won't believe it. I've cut my hair. I'm really sorry, but I've cut my hair." And she says, "Oh, well, that's all right. How much have you cut?" And I said, in Japanese, I said, "Kekko, I've cut quite a lot." I didn't actually say I'm completely bald. And I thought, well, there's no way that they're going to have me in this drama if I'm completely bald. So what they did is they said, "Okay, send us a photo. And did I just say that? That's terrible. I can't remember what I said 5 seconds ago. Anyway, so I thought, okay, I can't take a photo of just me and my bald head because they'll definitely say no. So I took a picture with my Tilly hat on, my tourist hat, sent it to them. And thankfully, I got a reply saying, "If you keep the hat on, you're in." Because I knew that my role was going to be a tourist. Anyway, so I got the job. So Friday morning, 9 a.m, go to Ueno Station in northeast Tokyo, and there I'm met by the woman from the agency and four other foreigners, two Russians, a Spaniard, and a really funny bloke from Holland, Dirk Rebel, his name is, really funny guy, with an amazing moustache. Anyway, we go to Ueno Koen, we introduce the rest of the crew. There's like, I don't know, 30 or 40 crew members, and then there was another 30 or 40 members of the like extras like us. And anyway, because we were, what basically the story was this woman who, the story is set in the 1970s and modern day, and we were filming the flashback bits. So I was a 1975 tourist, so I especially had to go out and buy this really geeky shirt the day before, because I didn't have any geeky shirts because I'm just too fashionable. Anyway, so we meet up and we're told the story. It's basically this woman who in the 1975 met this guy that she really liked, and then nothing, and they almost got together, and then they didn't for many years, and then finally they get back together and they remember their childhood, and it's based on this lovely film that was out last year, a really successful film. So they decide, Fuji TV, one of the biggest TV companies in Japan, decide to make it into a drama series starring none other than, oh Christ, I always forget her name. Twinkle. What was the name of that, of the actress? That's it. Tokiwa Takako. Tokiwa Takako-san. I'll put a link on the blog for A Year in Japan so you can have a look at her on Wikipedia and in the news. And I didn't have a clue who she was, so I emailed Twinkle and I said to her, "Oh, have you ever heard of this woman?" And I got a reply from Twinkle almost immediately saying, "Oh my God, I've loved her since I was a child. Oh, can you get her autograph and photos?" And I was like, "Oh, okay, this really is someone." And it turns out, I spoke to several other people afterwards, that this woman is, you know, one of the most celebrated actors in Japan. And in fact, looking at her Wikipedia entry, she has won a lot of awards. And the story was that we're doing this tour of Tokyo, and that's where she met this, or that's where she was traveling around with this guy who was eventually to become her partner. And so we were the foreign tourists and she was one of the Japanese tourists on this tour of Tokyo, and because we were gaijin foreigners, they wanted us to be quite prominent to really promote the idea of it being a tourist thing. So we're all in this group, and there's us gaijin right at the front with her, and she was standing right in front of me and walking right in front of me, you know, she was this close to me. And it was a real, she was a very 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 lovely lady, I must say. And then at one point my speaking role amounts to the word yes. because the tour guide at one point says to us, she's explaining what the statue is that we're looking at, and suddenly she yells out, "Hey, mister, you know this statue? It's sold Kujiro Sojiwara," or whatever. Anyway, so I thought that's great where this tour guide gets my attention by saying, "Hey, mister!" And I thought, you know, should I correct her? Because no tour guide would ever say, "Hey, mister!" to grab attention of one of her clients. But I thought, no, it's quite funny, actually. I'll leave it in. Anyway, so we did a day's 6-hour shooting. Was it six? No, 6 or 7 actually, in Ueno. And then we went to Yoyogi Koen at Yoyogi Park. And we had such a big problem filming in Yoyogi Park because there was a live band playing. And so we could only shoot the scenes that we needed to shoot when the band stopped playing. So it was so funny, like everything's set up and the actor, everyone's just waiting for the song to finish. Song finishes and suddenly, and the director goes, "Action!" And then we do the scene, you know, as fast as we can. And that was a scene where we're perusing some traditional Japanese market and once again, focus on the foreigners. Oh yeah, so... should be get my nose and my hat in that bit there. Then the following day, yesterday, we had to be out at 7 a.m. and we went to the kokkai, the diets, the houses of parliament. And the idea yesterday was that this bunch of tourists, we were driving around on a tourist bus, and you know, as a scene played out on the bus. And so we're waiting for this bus to arrive, and suddenly this 1975 yellow bus turns up, and like it's one of the oldest buses I've ever seen actually running in Japan, or pretty much anywhere. It's incredible. It's got these amazing sort of torpedo-like things on its roof, which like they're like go faster stripes, but they're shaped like torpedoes. They're incredible. And yeah, and like it's got no air conditioning, and the temperature yesterday was about the same as today. Today is the high. Today there's a high of 35 degrees. Yesterday it was pretty much like that. Actually, oh no, today's high is 36 degrees. So it's blooming hot. So that's it was incredible, and no air conditioning on this little yellow bus. And the bus that kept on stalling, and like it would keep on bunny hopping and things because it's an ancient bus, and the poor driver, he's having such a hard time with the director shouting at him, because you got the back half of the bus was full of like studio equipment. They had to try and squeeze in this huge camera and then all these monitors and all this equipment onto the bus just to film us in the front. And you know, and I'm sitting just two seats to the right of Tokiwa Takako, and which was really a great thrill, I must say. And they had us doing things like singing traditional Japanese songs because the tour guide, she's trying to entertain us, and so she's going, "Aruhi, aruhi, mori no naka, mori no naka, kumo ni data, data." And the thing is, right, like we had like these cars driving around the bus and trying to stop all the other traffic coming near the bus by driving really slowly, and then we had some guys actually closing the roads temporarily, and we had to do all the timing with the traffic lights and things. It was a real palaver because, you know, just the slightest little thing getting into shot that wasn't 1975, and the whole scene is ruined, and we have to do the whole circuit again. So we must have sang that song so many times, and it was a lot of fun though. And yeah, you know, it had a minor conversation. You know, she was asking me where I was from, and I handed her her cup of tea, and I told her the time, and oh, we're like best buddies. Ah, yes. Anyway, so that was a real thrill. Anyway, this Fuji Terra B is one of the biggest networks in Japan, as I said before. And this drama series, Fuji TV drama series, are really big business. So that's going to be out either at the end of this year or next year. So I won't be here, but I'll get someone to tape it for me. And I'm very much looking forward to that. It's the first time I've been in a proper primetime program, really. Because I did some NHK acting. That's the equivalent of the BBC earlier this year, and then when it was broadcast they cut the entire section that I was in. I still got paid, but anyway, That was a real thrill, and what an amazing end to my year in Japan. It was such a treat to be acting with the stars. I can't remember the name of the guy, but he's pretty famous as well, and he was really nice. I really liked him, and so that was great. So that's my first bit of news of what I've been up to here this past 2 months. Whoa, fantastic. I was just going to mention, actually, that the photo which accompanied that last section, which those of you watching the advanced version on a iPod would have seen, I did actually manage to get a shot of the main star, even though, of course, it's strictly not allowed. I managed to sneak a cheeky shot, so that was of her, the lovely lady. And so now what's next? Let me see. Oh yes, it's August, right? It's August in Japan. What does that mean? Apart from temperatures so hot that a lot of people this year have been buying these machines that turn your body inside out to help you cool down. I haven't actually got one myself, but I'm told they're very effective. They do cool you down quite a lot, but they tend to do it permanently. Slight side effect there. Anyway, August, apart from scorching temperatures and humidity, which has actually led myself and Twinkle here to turn the air conditioning on. I know it's shocking stuff, but we've been getting so desperate, and actually, well, when we have friends around especially, we have to turn it on because it's not fair. It's not fair on them. Fireworks. August is the month of fireworks, and I'm not sure if you know or not, because I can't see inside your mind, but whether or not you know, Japan is the fireworks capital. They're absolutely amazing. They spend like 10 billion trillion yen on fireworks every second in August, and that's actually why Japan has got such a big national debt. So we went to our friend's house, Stu America, and they live on the 17th floor, right by the river Ara, is it the Ara? I think it's the Aragawa, yes. And they've got the most amazing fireworks show just down the river. So we had this prime spot, and crikey, the fireworks went for like half an hour or something. Absolutely astonishing, except for the fact that the wind was blowing in our direction, which meant that throughout the entire show there was this great big cloud of the fireworks smoke hanging right in front of the fireworks. So it was like a case of, wow, that firework must be amazing behind the cloud. But I did get a few good shots, actually. I took over 500 photos in the space of 30 minutes. Because, oh yeah, you know, I got this new camera. It's absolutely gorgeous. It's beginner level, entry level camera. A digital SLR, digital single lens reflex camera. You know, proper big thing with interchangeable lenses and all that. But I absolutely love it. The Nikon D40X. Oh, it's a beauty. It's a dream come true. I've wanted a digital SLR for so long now, and it takes gorgeous photos. Anyway, so with this camera, you can just keep your finger on the shutter and it just shoots away. So I used up 5 gigabytes of memory within the space of 30 minutes, just taking all these photos. And out of 500 photos, I got 17 that were actually decent. Not because of the camera, but because of this bloody great cloud of smoke. But yeah, it's amazing. If you walk around Tokyo at the moment, especially yesterday and today, so many people dressed in yukata, the summer kimono. Kimono. God, I sound like a foreigner. Kimono. And the men as well. Men as well, dressed in yukata. Really, they look very groovy. Clip-clopping around in their clogs. So yeah, if you want to see Japanese people dressed in traditional clothing, go to Shinjuku Station onto the Saikyo Line platform, heading for Saitama on the day of a big fireworks display there, because there's so many people. It's really amazing. And we're going to do some fireworks tonight. Yeah, yeah, man. Yeah, groovy, baby. We bought some 99 yen fireworks, which is approximately 40 pence. And they're going to be amazing. We're going to have such a good time in the park. Our friends coming around to visit. And yeah, oh, it's going to be fantastic. Which leads me on to my next topic of conversation. Joseph, we're tripping over our words here. Okay, so next thing I want to talk to you about, and I know that a lot of you already know this because you follow the Daily Mumble, because that's where it's at, boy. So anyway, the next thing is I want to talk about myself and Twinkle here and what we did. It was a couple of weeks ago now, a few weeks ago, we got engaged. Oh yeah, oh yeah. Twinkle? Hello? Psst, psst. Hello? 大丈夫? Honto? 寝てるかな? 大丈夫? So 心配. We got engaged. She can't really hear me, because I'm sure if she heard me talking about it, she'd be jumping up and down with joy, saying, yeah, 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 we got engaged, yeah, yeah, you finally asked me. But in actual fact, she's almost half asleep trying to watch this video, but not succeeding very well. I bought this ring, this little diamond ring. It's a minute diamond, because I'm a student. And, it's a kind of case of, when Sasuke shows someone her ring, they have to get their magnifying glass out to try and figure out where the diamond is. It looks like a little scratch on the surface. But, finally I got this ring, and, I had so many troubles getting the right size and things. But, I was planning to go to some really romantic spot, like some hideaway in the mountains, and I got some advice from some friends. Thank you, Tom, and thank you, Stefan. And I was going to reserve this place, and it was all sorted out. And then I check with Sasuke. Oh shit! I mean Twinkle. I check with Twinkle for her schedule, and it's like you are free that weekend, aren't you? Trying to be as casual about it as possible. And she said, "Oh no, sorry, I'm going to Osaka that day." What? Oh no, and the plans fall through. So then I'm thinking, okay, right, we'll go out to some really nice restaurant, preferably in a high building. I like high buildings. I associate them with romance. I'm not sure why, but I do. I'm sure they wouldn't be that romantic in the case of an earthquake, but anyway. So every night I'm planning some amazing plans, and then I get a message on my phone saying, oh, sorry, I'm going to be a bit late home tonight. Oh, donk. So after a week of this, I'm getting really frustrated. And it was quite ironic that, because I was getting really frustrated and stressed, we were not the best of friends all week. We don't argue, we don't have arguments, and it's never anything serious. But we play silly games. Anyway, so finally it gets to Sunday night, it's 12:30, and I'm thinking, this can't go on, I have to ask her. So it's like, I said to her, fancy going for a walk? And she's like, what? It's 12:30. And I said, yeah, it'd be nice to go to the park. So off we go, and she is wondering actually why I'm so desperate to go for a walk. But we get to the park and start going for a jog around the running track. Because I thought, well, that'd be a nice idea, that'd be a nice thing to do, wouldn't it? And she was very genki that night in the park. And finally, we sit down on a bench, and crikey, my God, I started to get so nervous. And that was me thinking, oh, I could, I can say anything to her. I'd never get nervous about asking her anything. And suddenly, my heart starts beating faster, and I'm feeling really awkward. And eventually, I get the ring out and produce the ring, and so it's in its little box. I say, oh, I've got a little something for you. She's like, oh, what is it? And she opens it, and she's like, it's like there was a bit of silence. And I asked her in English and Japanese, would you marry me? And then there was like 5 minutes of silence with her playing with the ring, and kind of saying, oh, that's nice, that's nice. And I'm thinking, my God, maybe I've got it all wrong. Maybe she's going to say no. And start getting really worried, because I just assumed, you know, that it would be fine and she'd just say yes straight off, but she didn't. And then I was getting really panicky. And then after it was literally 5 minutes, which is like an eternity. And then I said to her, I don't suppose you could give me an answer, could you? And she said, yeah. Okay. So, okay. Okay, is that your response to my amazing request for you to marry me? That was your response, wasn't it? Oh, I don't remember the yes bit. What did you say after that? Ah, that's what you said. Can you say it again, but a bit louder, so the boys and girls can hear you? No, she's camera shy, or microphone shy. So that's what she said. She said, yeah, yes, well, you know my answer anyway. And then we took the photo, which was distributed around the whole world and all the press agencies and things. And we're very happy, and we treated each other really well for about a week, and then it went back to the same old grind. No, not at all, no. No, so we're absolutely delighted. And it turns out the reason why she didn't give me an answer straight away was because earlier in the week she'd said to me, I'd actually already bought this diamond ring, and I was carrying it around with me everywhere just in case some chance arose. And she'd said to me sort of sarcastically, because I was sort of saying, oh, you know, what about getting married and things like that or whatever. We'd been having this conversation for a while, and she said, yeah, well, if you bought me a diamond ring, then I might consider it. And so when I finally did propose with this diamond ring, she thought that I had felt guilty due to her saying, oh yeah, well, if you got me a diamond ring. So she thought that I had bought that because of what she said, whereas in actual fact, I already had it on me, which is why she was feeling really bad, like, oh shit, I made him spend all that money. And but of course it wasn't like that, really. So only all that cleared up. And it's great. Wedding, we're currently thinking, well, we'd like to get married in the UK and Japan. We're thinking big sort of party-ish thing, very casual thing in the UK, and more wedding-esque, traditional wedding-esque thing over here in Japan. We're thinking the first of these two things would happen next year. Not entirely sure whether it would be the English one or the Japanese one first, and then after that, the following year here. It depends partly on finances and things like that, you know, because I'll be a student until next July. So yeah, so that's really nice, and we're very happy, aren't we? A big smile greets the microphone from Ms. Twinkle there. Anyway, so yeah, so that's the exciting wedding news. So there we go. As a PS to that section, I'd just like to speak for a minute about spending a year apart, because of course as of next week I will no longer be in Japan, we'll be apart for a year, and that's kind of a daunting prospect actually. We're trying not to think about it too much, and it's been, you know, we've had some pretty upsetting times recently when we have thought about it too much, but you know, we're both feeling very strong, and it's going to be really good for our relationship, really strengthen us, and thank God for Skype. And she may come over at Christmas to visit, who knows. So good luck for us, because I need to spend my final year at university in England before I graduate and come back here and become a major big time celebrity, as is of course my destiny. Oh yeah. Because I'm so funny. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Hello, this is the news. Joseph has accidentally sent the full soundtrack for the Learning Japanese section back to the UK. So, you only get the first bit. Thank you.
Learning Japanese? I think I'm learning Japanese. I really think so. Learning Japanese? I think I'm learning Japanese. I really think so. Learning Japanese, I think I'm learning Japanese, I really think so. Learning Japanese, I think I'm learning Japanese, I really think so.
And then the music changed.
Oh yeah, baby, oh yeah, it's time for the final Learning Japanese of the season, and today I'd like to recommend a website which I've been using for grammar. I found that I've reached the end of the usefulness of my dictionaries, my grammar dictionaries. I've got the highly recommended Japan Times Basic Japanese Grammar Dictionary and the Intermediate Grammar Dictionary. Fantastic, fantastic. I'll put the links to Amazon on my website. They're really good. But, I've now reached... They're not covering the stuff that we've been learning in uni. So I've been looking on the internet and I found jgram.org. J-G-R-A-M.org. jgram.org, Japanese grammar. And basically it's a wiki, so anyone can add to it. So there's an awful lot of stuff on there. With example sentences, meanings, and tells you the Japanese language proficiency test level, things like that. And I found it really good for those bits of grammar that are not covered in my dictionary. I found this jgram.org site to be really good. Now, it hasn't got everything, but it's got a lot of stuff that the dictionaries don't have in. And of course, it's getting bigger and better all the time. So jgram.org is my recommendation. And I just like to talk a bit now. I just like to talk a sort of do a review of my year of learning Japanese. And now looking back, I am absolutely delighted with how my understanding has progressed. I really understand so much more. And of course, there's still situations where I completely lose track of what people are talking about. But on the whole, I can pretty much know what's going on. Nearly all the time. And I mentioned this on my blog recently about having a benchmark text or a benchmark movie or benchmark sound bite, whereby when you start learning Japanese, you have this text or movie or sound bite, whatever, and you listen to it, you read it, you watch it, and you see how much you understand. And then, a year later, you do the same. You do the same 2 years later, 3 years later, 4 years later. And it's amazing. You can see your progress and see how much more you understand. It's so satisfying. And I don't think I talked about this on the last podcast. I may have done, but I don't think I did. And I have this, my benchmark thing is something from TBS Radio, a story about a cat called Blackie. And I understand so much more of what Blackie's getting up to than I did several years ago. So yeah, get your benchmark movie or whatever without subtitles. Subtitles is cheating. No subtitles allowed around here, thank you. And if they're Japanese subtitles, it's okay. But English subtitles is a no. Japanese subtitles is good because then you can pick out the kanji and you can pick up the meaning. So yeah, so that's allowed. But yeah, it's amazing. Benchmark's great. Anyway, this final year, yeah. So my listening ability has really improved a lot, and I'm very happy about that. Spoken, it is on a different plane. It is, if my listening is in the stratosphere, my spoken is somewhere in about 10,000 leagues under the sea. Not 20,000, but 10,000. It's not very good. And of course it's much better than it was last year, and I can say most of what I want to do, and I have had managed to have some pretty deep conversations, and you know, I don't struggle that much, but I make so many silly mistakes. But you know what, I don't care, I can get by, and I'm a lot better than I used to be, and that's all you can ask for at the end of the day. The course at Rikkyo University was absolutely fantastic. If ever anyone has the chance to go to Rikkyo, go there. It's brilliant. I love it. And I gave him a big box of chocolates because they're so nice. The really important thing is, of course, when you first start your course, it's really important to do well in your placement test. Otherwise, you're kind of buggered for the year because you get put in too lower class and you miss out so much. So do well on your placement test. Revise before you get to uni. Really important that. Revise before you get to uni. And don't end up arriving in Japan the day before your placement test, because you'll be jet lagged and you won't be able to think straight, and you'll be shooting yourself in the foot for the entire next year. Arrive at least a week in advance if possible. So generally, overall, you know, I've learned a lot of new grammar, getting used to hearing it all, and basically everything's good. So it's been a great year for learning Japanese, and I sort of look forward to next year's learning Japanese in a sort of kind of way. Woo! That's the end of this month's, this series, Learning Japanese. You? Okay. Do you know where it is?
I guess so.
Are you alright going there by yourself?
Hall.
Doasai. Okay. Next section. People feedback. My god, so last time, episode 10.5, I asked for suggestions on where I could go and what I could do, and thank you for this staggering response. It took me ages to read those two emails. Where are they? Okay. Bloody, 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 blah. Dam, ba dam, ba dam. Da ba dam, a nimina. Has a bit of a bear. Has a minima. Sorry, I'm nearly there. Okay, here we go. Message from Karamoon. Karamoon. Karamoon is his stage name, and he has a blog which is called snackfanjapan.blogspot.com. snackfanjapan.blogspot.com. And I've been in touch with him a bit, and you know, he's a sound guy. In fact, didn't we speak? I think we spoke on Skype. Yeah, that was great to speak to you then. Karamoon has suggested that we record part of episode 11 in Koshikawa Korakuen Koen. Now, perfect place to sit. Is that the one, Koshikawa, something, Koshi River, Korakuen? That's not the one in central Tokyo, is it? I wish I could, because, you know, I really want to get out there and go to all the parks and things, but I've so completely run out of time and money that I haven't really been anywhere. So I had this great idea, you know, to go to all these really exciting places and do lots of really exciting things. And then at the end, suddenly I realised, you know, I don't actually have the finance or the time to do this. So I thought I'd recreate Koshikawa Korakuen Koen here in the Viva Kamiyatabashi office. Here we go. Tweet, twoo. Oh no, it's an owl, isn't it? Okay. Tweet, tweet, tweet. Tweet, 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 tweet. Oh, I just got an email asking me if I want to buy some Viagra. Let's delete that. Tweet, 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 Okay, cool. Yeah, it's lovely around here. This park is all green and tweety and lovely. I'm loving it. Okay, right. Okay, I better go back to the Viva Kamiyatabashi studios now. Okay. Jolly good, right? Okay. So, thank you very much. Now, for the next suggestion, where is it? I've lost it. Okay, it was Chris. Chris. Oh, he gives me a lot of trouble, just this Chris. Here we go. Here's Chris's message. Joseph, well, it's a bit sad that you're no longer going to be broadcasting from Japan.
I know!
At any rate, just thought I'd give you some suggestions as requested. See a Japanese league football match. You know, that is something I haven't done, and that is something I've never seen any football match anywhere ever. Apart from, well, not a professional one. I've seen them on, like, from trains, looking out train windows. So I'll do that next time, okay? I'm coming back next year, you know. Record some karaoke bar magic. I have done that, actually, but I tell you what, it was so bad that you do not want to hear it. Rent a Pikachu costume and wear it around town. What's a Pikachu costume? I don't understand these cultural references. It's too much for me. I'm a simpleton. Eat something that is still moving. I have done that, but I'm not going to go into detail about what it was. Set up a nightlife Japanese scavenger hunt. What's that? Nightlife Japanese... Is that like going after women? Is it? Well, you'll have to go back in my life about 5 years and you'll find all the material you want on that. Jump on a sumo wrestler's back. You know, I did this. I did this on... it was on the train the other day. And I jumped on his back and he fell over, rolled over and squashed me and I died. It's quite sad that. Find and eat the hottest curry in Japan. Well, funnily enough, the other day myself and Twinkle went to this local ramen shop, which is like the most famous ramen shop in all of Japan, excluding the other ones, and it's been on TBS TV and it has famous people eating there, and we're like, you know, well, we should go there sometime before I leave. So we went and queued up in the rain. Oh, how was it?
Spicy
it was. I was actually talking about the toilet, but it was, because right, I can't hack spicy food. Hello, what are you doing? Twirling around in circles. Sorry, I'm getting a bit distracted here. So I can't hack spicy food, and we queue in the rain at this place, and then we order these lovely ramen dishes. My God, it was so hot! It was so hot that when, later that night, it was about 3 hours later, I did one of those minor vomit things where it just comes back into your mouth and you swallow it. It was so hot that it burnt my mouth even then. That's how hot it was. And we both had stomach ache. And like the Japanese lightweight wrestler champion goes there to get his power. So yes, it was incredibly hot, and it just made me think, like, you know, why? Why not just have ice cream instead? Watch some classic Japanese films. I have done much. I've watched a lot more Japanese films in the UK than I've watched here, because I don't know, Japan's all around me. All the Seven Samurai wherever I look. Drink a full bottle of high yield sake in one go. Well, are you eating chocolate? Are you eating chocolate? Is that my chocolate? Who bought it? Who?
You.
Me. Sorry, I just had to snatch that from the Twinkle. What was I saying? Oh yeah, my God, the amount of alcohol. I mean, like, when I shaved all my hair off the other day, that was pretty bad. Terrible hangover. Okay. Attend and make use of a love hotel. Twinkle, what's a love hotel? What's a love hotel? What is it? Oh, don't ask you that. Oh, you wouldn't know anything about it. Say no more. Relax and have fun. Oh yeah, I've been relaxing and having fun. Remember, live every day like it's your last in Japan, because it soon will be. You know, I say that about life. I say live every day in your life as if it was your last day. Okay, and if you were going to die tomorrow, what would you choose to do today? Who would you choose to be with? You know, you should ask yourself that question. Well, you shouldn't if you don't want to, but you could ask yourself that question. And, you know, I think that is so important, to be happy. Happiness is what it's all about. And then helping other people, that's what it's all about. And happiness is, if you're happy, it exudes and sticks to other people like green jelly with sticky glue in it. So yes, anyway. So thank you for the thousands and thousands of suggestions. And I'm really sorry that basically I didn't do any of them. I'll do it next year. I will be back in Japan next July. Hurrah! Some other feedback I had. Rick, thank you, Rick, for your email. I think I mentioned, we talked about you in episode 9. Lovely to receive your emails. And oh yes, you're recommending getting books by people like Haruki Murakami or Banana Yoshimoto, and getting the original Japanese versions and the English versions. Very good idea, very good idea. I personally recommend, I might have mentioned this on the last blog podcast, Hoshi Shinichi writes small short stories, like 5 or 6 pages, using simple language, but it's proper Japanese. Absolutely fantastic for learning written Japanese. Thoroughly recommend it. Absolutely brilliant, that. Okay, I got a message from Brittany. I don't know if that's Spears or not, or it might be the country or the part of France. I mean, I found out about you from iTunes. I really
like you, and I love your accent. It is so good. I'm a big fan of yours, and I hope you keep doing your radio show. I also love Hot Gay. He's funny as hell. He cracks me up. And thanks for the tips on staying in Japan. I knew that would happen if you stayed in the dorms.
I think she's talking about the fact if you stay in dormitories, your language doesn't improve that much.
Because then you'll stick to your foreign buddies. This is why I prefer our host family. Well, keep up the good work. Thank you.
Okay, so Brittany Menifield, I hope that's how you pronounce your name. I do hope that I managed to mimic your accent perfectly and that sounded just like you. Because I think that's right. Unless you're French, of course.
Je suis a fan about you from iTunes. I really like you and I love your accent.
Maybe not. A message from Chris. Hang on, didn't we just hear from Chris? Chris! Stop sending me spam! No, you're not really. You were right. You mentioned Footy in Japan. And in fact, Footy in Japan was the company that my brother-in-law, future brother-in-law, was kind of heading. But he's moved on. Very exciting things happening in the family now. Oh yes, big time soccer. Big time soccer blokey. Okay. What's next on the list? I know. It's time for a break. That's right. Okay. Here we are, ladies and gentlemen. A break.
Halfway around the world in 28 days. A Trans-Siberian Voyage by Joseph Tame.
Oh yes, boys and girls, www.9000miles.info, not .com, because that's some Australian guy who'll get very upset with lots of people thinking that they're going to the most amazing website of Joseph Tame and ending up on his family's website, where they post pictures of cherries and wallpaper. The wallpaper's good. Look at the wallpaper. No, okay. www.9000miles.info. Now, if you go to that website, that is where I'm going to be uploading videos like via YouTube and photos and stories as I travel 9,000 miles halfway around the world. Yeah, okay, you get the picture. It's 14,000 kilometers, by the way. So I'm going to basically, why am I going back to the UK by plane? Not by plane, by train and ferry, because planes pollute. That is my message, boys and girls. Planes pollute. And if you are serious about not causing horrendous damage to this environment and your kids, if you want your kids to be able to walk around without a breathing mask in like 30 years time, you don't take that plane, because if you take that plane, you're going to be put to shame, because your kid, he's not going to be able to walk down the street without coughing and spluttering because of your plane that you flew in, because you thought it was too much of a pain to go on the train. Okay, you get the message? Right, okay. So, yeah, basically, if I take the plane, right, that increases my annual CO2 output by like two-thirds. In fact, yeah, it is. It's like two-thirds. You have a look on that website, 9000miles.info. I got some pretty pictures, some pretty graphs showing CO2 output from planes. You know, and that's like, it gets to me. It gets, you know, if we're going to have some cute babies, hey, Twinkle, are we going to have some cute babies? We are. Okay, she said, mm-hmm. Okay, I don't know if you heard that, but she did. She said, mm-hmm. Okay, so if we're going to have cute babies, I don't want them walking around with a gas mask on the face because I went on some plane instead of taking the train. So anyway, 14th of August, 2007, that's this year. Okay, No, 10th of August, I take the train from Tokyo to Osaka. Okay, that's the Kakuekidesha. Kakuekidesha, whatever. The train, it stops all the time, it takes 10 hours to get there. Then I'm going to take the ferry from Beijing. Taking the ferry from Osaka to Shanghai across the East China Sea. That is a voyage that's going to take 44 hours. Oh yeah, man, 44 hours of cross-sea therapy and, like, incredible stuff with water and things like that and typhoons. And it's going to be great. Then I arrive in Shanghai, spend a couple of days there, go up to Beijing on the new railway thing they've got going, you know. And then I'm going to go to Mongolia, and I'm going to stay in a Mongolian mert. Mert? No, I'm going to stay in a Mongolian yurt. Or in Mongolian, they say ger. And in fact, in Japanese as well, I think they say ger. Geru. Come on, what can I get on? Geru, hi. I'm getting some positive feedback nodding from the Twinkle down by my feet. She's always down by my feet, is where she belongs, isn't that right? Oh, okay, that's a pretty nasty face, but anyway. Anyway, so I'm gonna stay in a gear and I'm gonna eat some sheep's innards and I'm gonna get thoroughly sick of them because I'm vegetarian, but I'm gonna have no choice because my pot noodles are not gonna last all the way. Then I'm gonna stop at Lake Baikal. Baikal is like it's like the second largest like fresh water reserve water thing in the whole world, you know? It's like massive, it's like full of water and it's big. And there's this island on it with like these log cabins, and like I'm gonna stay on like this really pretty like log cabin with these like Siberian people, and it's gonna be so ultra cool, you know, providing I get that far and don't get mugged or whatever I might do. Anyway, then I'm gonna get back on the train and I'm gonna head over to Moscow, you know. That's gonna take me like a week at least to travel that. It's like 10 billion miles, that section, you know. 10 billion miles, like. Anyway, and then from Moscow, I'm not going to take the plane. A lot of people, they cheat. They take the plane from Moscow to London, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to take the train. Oh yeah, I'm not going to ride that plane. I'm going to take that train. I'm back on the train, and I'm riding, and I'm going through Belarus, and I'm going through Germany. Oh, but I'm going to go through Poland before that, and then I'm going to go through, where's that place? Oh, Belgium, the little place, you know. Then I'm going to go into France, and I'm not going to hang around in France too long. I mean, Christ, who'd want to do that? Then it's straight through to London, under that bit of water, through that tunnel, up to Hereford, and then all the way back up to Sheffield to my university department. And that is going to take me 28 days, and that's going to take me almost halfway around the world. So if you think that sounds kind of interesting, why don't you check out Fireworks. Hanabi. There's fireworks going on outside. Where would that be? Is that today? No, well, I guess it would be today if it's happening right now. Anyway, yeah, www.9000miles.info. And it is my plan, because I'm stopping off at all these places along the way, and it seems like most of them have got internet to upload some videos and stuff and show you some shit from, like, the Trans-Siberian Railway. It's going to be well cool. And thank you to the Sheffield Telegraph for agreeing to cover it and get everyone watching it. And getting everyone thinking about taking the train instead of the plane, because, you know, you're real bad. If you take the plane, you're real bad. Real bad, man. Okay. So that's 28 Days Around the World with Halfway Around with Joseph Tane. Thank you very much. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, well, we're into the home straights now. I know this has been a long episode, but you know what? You know what? I think that's what you want, isn't it? You want to hear my smooth, charming voice, don't you? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, Joseph, just give it to me. Okay. And, of course, the other thing you want to hear is... Where is it? Oh, this is so fantastic. If you haven't checked out YouTube recently, you must, because you've got to tune into this song. Where is it? Here we go. This has, like, been downloaded 3,624,000 times in just 2 weeks.
Chocolate rain.
So it just goes on and on and on and on like that. It's absolutely fantastic. I know you love it, don't you?
Chuck Brain.
And anyone who listens to the Twit podcast, the Mac Break Weekly, would know just how funny it was the other day. Anyway, Chocolate Rain, check it out on YouTube. It's the most amazing video ever in the whole world. Possibly not. Anyway, so you know, this is the final section of the final episode in this first series of A Year in Japan. I'm sure that a lot of you won't have got this far in the episode, but for those of you who are still with me, thank you, darlings. You probably include my future children who aren't even conceived yet. Hello, hi, how you doing? Oh, you're so cute. I would like to congratulate Russ and Emmy on the birth of their baby yesterday, their baby girl. I have just, as I've been recording, I've just received the first photo. Oh my God, drop dead gorgeous. The most stunning baby you have ever seen. Absolutely, well, apart from my sister's babies, of course. And of course my best friend Joe. Well, you know, they're all amazing, actually. Congratulations to Joe as well, Joe and Jim, and congratulations in advance to Tom and Miu, who are going to have theirs next week. Everyone's having babies. It's this pregnancy touch I have, but so far, fingers crossed, Twinkle has remained impervious to my magic touch like that. Well, no, not like that. Not that she's disappointed or she's not satisfied. No. What I mean is she hasn't got pregnant. Okay. Where was I? Yeah, so like this year has been absolutely amazing for me. I have really, you know, just thinking about it now makes my hair stand on end, what little hair I do have. Thinking about all the things I've achieved. You know, if I go back over the year and starting out in that little dirty little place with the leaky roof and starting out at uni, and then, you know, doing well at uni, making lots of friends, went to Tsukiji fish market and went to the fish market, and then went to the fish market, and then of course started doing voluntary work with Oxfam, which was fantastic. Did those Oxfam shops, the charity shops, and raised lots of money for them. Then of course trail walker, the sponsored hike. In the end, we raised over £2,300. Thank you everyone for your support. Thoroughly appreciate that. Made so many friends, had a goodbye party with Oxfam. Thank you, Kia. I know you won't listen to this, but you were, that was so kind of you to get me that cake and big surprise there. Thank you so much for that. And what else? Yeah, I learned a lot, you know. I mean, Kanji is marginally better than it was last year. Listening, as I said, you know, it's come on, and speaking as well. And I've been reading so many books, as those of you who followed the Mumble will know, which has given me immense strength and really makes me feel so happy and positive about the future. You know, anyone, I've really come to realise this year that you can pretty much do, if you've got any dream, you really can achieve it. It's just a case of doing it. And, you know, for so long I had this idea that only those amazing people could do this, that or the other. You know, whether it was a podcast or make a movie or I don't know, be appear on television. Not that that particularly appeals to me, although I do still joke that that's one of my ambitions. Or, you know, whether they've set up some amazing foundation, some amazing charity and helped loads and loads of people. And, you know, I've always sort of assumed that it's taken some sort of superhuman power to do this sort of thing. But I just realised it's so not true. It's just people just like you and me, just ordinary people who decide upon wanting to do something and then doing it. You know, and of course they're scared just like we are, but they just, you know, they feel the fear and do it anyway, as Susan Jeffers said. So it's been a really tremendously exciting year for me in terms of realizing what possibilities are out there. And if you can find that kind of assurance and understand that, you know, everything at the end of the day, everything's okay, and also that nothing matters, nothing really matters, you know, you shouldn't take life so seriously. You know, and these have been great changes for me, and I found it so useful in dealing with everyday life here in Japan, and I'll find the same back in England. So I'm really grateful to everyone who's contributed to that, this learning curve, my learning curve going through the ceiling. Really, really appreciate that. And of course, you know, I've managed to come off my drugs for epilepsy after 13 years of being on these synthetic drugs, which do no good to my liver at all, but which I was told I'd probably have to be on for life. I managed to replace with organic multivitamins and vitamin B complex. Completely unexpected. And I just happened to stumble across this discovery myself. And then afterwards found on the internet other stories of people doing the same. This is amazing. I'm off this medication, which I was told I'd always have to be on. So no worries anymore about having to take stacks and stacks of meds to Japan to live from courtesy of the NHS. The only thing we have to worry about now is getting stacks and stacks of condoms from the UK for reasons that we're only all too aware of. And in actual fact, we did... Oh, actually, I better not talk anymore about that. No, I wasn't talking about anything. So basically it's been wonderful. Thank you ever so much. Oh, we did that thing with Sheffield University about podcasts. That was quite funny, wasn't it? Probably an us disaster that end. But do we mind? No, not in the slightest, because we all love each other. And yes. Anyway, darlings, thank you so much for listening. It is my plan for this podcast to continue next year. It better do, because this microphone weighs a ton and I'm paying through the nose, through my big, great big honk, to get it back to you in the UK so I can carry on using it next year. Thank you so much to all my friends here, especially to Tom and Miu, Stu and Mariko for your support. I really appreciate it. Really, really appreciate it. And for anyone who is still listening, thank you for your support. Okay, well, I'll see you in the next season of A Year in Japan. It might be A Year in Japan broadcast live from Sheffield, UK. I may put some audio episodes up from my travels. I don't know. You know, I think I'll use this iTunes feed to just continue doing my podcasts. And it's always going to have a slight, you know, Japanese ring to it, whatever. But yeah, I think it's a good memory for life, and it can all form part of my film when it comes out. Okay, take care, lots of love. Twinkle, do you want to say goodbye? It's final goodbye to everyone.
Goodbye.
Don't cry. It's all right. Oh, come here. Let's. Should we sing goodbye? Yeah, you're holding your mushrooms. Oh, okay. What song should we sing goodbye to? Like, what tune? How about Happy Birthday? To the listeners.
Not their birthday yet.
Well, no, we can use the Happy Birthday tune, but just you have the lyric goodbye. What do you reckon?
How?
Okay, like this, okay. Goodbye to you. Goodbye to you. Goodbye, dear listeners. Goodbye to you. You have to do the bottom bit. Yay! Yay! That's the sound of Twinkle's bottom being clapped. Jolly good. This is where it ends for now. Ta-ra! Bye-bye. Thank you.